Every morning when I wake to see the sun, I can't help but think about the Lord and all the things He's done. He meets my every need. You know He's been so good to me, and I can't help but praise the Lord for all He's done.
For all He's done, I'm gonna lift my hands and praise Him for all He's done. I'll try to live my life to please Him, even though I don't deserve to live. My life has just begun, and I can't help but praise the Lord for all He's done. There are many things that I could praise God for, and if I started now until I died, there'd still be many more. If I could mention only one, I'd have to praise Him for His Son, and that's enough to praise the Lord for all He's done. For all He's done, I'm gonna lift my hands and praise Him for all He's done. I'll try to live my life to please Him, even though I don't deserve to live. My life has just begun, and I can't help but praise the Lord for all He's done. For all He's done, I'm gonna lift my hands and praise Him for all He's done. I'll try to live my life to please Him, even though I don't deserve to live. My life has just begun, and I can't help but praise the Lord for all He's done. Even though I don't deserve to live, my life has just begun, and I can't help but praise the Lord for all He's done. For all He's done. For all He's done.
Well, that's a wonderful song. Thank you, folks. Appreciate it very much. Mark chapter 15. If you'll find the second book in the New Testament, the second gospel, Matthew, then verse, and then Mark. And then we're going to be in chapter 15. Chapter 15 here for a moment or two. Brother Brad, come on back up, please, sir. Be in place here. Mark chapter 15. Thank you so much. We're glad that you're here today. And ushers, those in the foyer there, if anybody comes in now after we start the preaching, they probably should just have a seat there in the foyer. We'd like to keep everybody in here for the next several minutes. We're having a lot of fun today, and that's all right. It's good to have fun. And by the way, we have fun on normal Sunday, but just some fun about getting together as God's people. But it's you know, now we come to the preaching of His Word, so it's time really to give some really concentrated thought to what God would have us hear this morning. Since you're seated and settled, I'm not going to have you stand again this morning. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 29. Now, we're picking up the story, the account of the crucifixion of Christ, all right? We don't have time to read the entire chapter, but we're going to pick it up in verse 29. Verse 29, "And they that passed by railed on Him, wagging their heads and saying, 'Ah, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself and come down from the cross.' Likewise also the chief priest, mocking, said among themselves with the scribes, 'He saved others, Himself He cannot save. Let Christ the King of Israel descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe.' And they that were crucified with Him reviled Him." I want to speak simply this morning on the cross. Father, thank You for the spirit of the service. Thank You for the fun we can have just doing something a little bit out of the ordinary for us. But Lord, it's the same book. Whether we're dressed in cowboy gear or in our suit and tie, it's the same book. And you're the same Holy Spirit of God, that without you, we can do nothing. And so, Lord Jesus, I pray, God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, that all three of the personalities of the Godhead will be involved in this service now. May you come and help us today. These are very critical days, Lord, as we look around us, what's going on in the world right now, even as we speak these words today. This is a critical time. So, Father, would you please help me open hearts this morning. May we hear your word. May you fill us with your Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. The birth of Jesus Christ changed the world. Changed the world. Our system of dating was changed as the years before his birth are dated B.C. and the years after his birth are dated A.D. The amazing truth about Jesus coming to the earth was that he came to die. Now, we understand that everyone born into this world has a time of death. You understand, folks, that death is inevitable. Okay? It's going to come to each of us. Our purpose at birth is not to die, but to live. Isn't that why we take medicine when we get sick or go see a doctor? We want to live. Jesus' purpose was to die. His purpose in coming was to die in a specific manner. Jesus came to shed his blood by being crucified on the cross. His manner of death was prophesied hundreds of years before his birth. His death was like Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it was according to the scriptures. So was his resurrection. He would die by being lifted up on the cross. He would be buried in a tomb that was borrowed from a rich man. The tomb was borrowed because Jesus would only occupy it for 3 days and three nights. And at the end of that designated time, Jesus rose from the dead. He walked out of that tomb, leaving his grave clothes behind. And all of that was according to the scriptures. Every prophecy concerning the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus was fulfilled completely and fully. When I read verses 29, 30, and 31, and I read about these proud and haughty men who were mocking Jesus and railing on him as he hung on the cross, I think to myself, it took a lot of pride for these men to speak to the Son of God in such a boastful, mocking manner. You know what that showed, folks? That showed how unbelieving they were about the Word of God and its prophecy. Jesus was on the cross according to the Scriptures. These were men who were supposed to know the Scriptures. Supposed to know it. The problem was they didn't believe that he was the one identified by those Scriptures. He didn't fit their profile. They wanted somebody completely different. They wanted a king to ride in and overthrow the oppressive Roman government. That's not why Christ came. Not the first time. He came to die on the cross. And that's what I want to talk about for a few minutes this morning. I want to talk about the cross. Three things. First of all, let me talk to you about the shape of the cross. The shape of the cross. The Romans used differently shaped crosses on which to crucify those who were condemned to death. And I don't have time to go into the scripture this morning, but it is obvious, and I could take the Bible and prove to us this morning, that Jesus was crucified on the cross most often used, what they called the T-shaped cross. This cross consisted of a vertical piece of wood and a horizontal piece of wood placed on the top, near the top of the vertical wood. Now, it didn't look like this. That's beautifully crafted and sanded and stained. It was just two pieces of wood. And this is why there was room at the top of the cross for Pilate to put a superscription up there on a piece of paper that read, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Because there was room for that. Now, the shape of that cross is symbolic. It is symbolic. There's the vertical piece, the vertical piece. One end of the vertical piece was up in the air and the other down in the ground. Folks, the plan of salvation for man did not begin on this earth in some corporate meeting room or some church council. It was not worked up by the thoughts of mankind. The plan of salvation began with God before the creation of the heaven and the earth. 1 Peter 1, 19 and 20 tells us that the death of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, was planned before the foundation of the world. The plan of salvation to save mankind from eternity in hell was established in heaven where God lives. And it was brought down to the earth where man lives. It commenced with God the Father. It was carried out by Jesus Christ. And it was culminated with the Spirit of God raising Jesus from the dead. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, the complete Godhead, brought salvation down from heaven to the earth. The vertical piece on the cross indicates that salvation was brought down from heaven to the earth. But it also indicates that man, thank God, can go from earth to heaven. Thank God we can go from earth to heaven. The last thing any person should want to do is to go from earth to hell. Any sane person who knows anything about what the Bible teaches about hell would not want to go there. I've only met maybe a couple of people in almost 50 years of witnessing for Christ or preaching now. I've only met a couple of people who made the foolish statement, "I want to go to hell." One was at a funeral home down in Kankakee several years ago, the son of one of the ladies that was shut in when I first came to pastor the church here in 1990. And I met her in the course of meeting her and visiting her in her home. I met her grandson. And I witnessed him. His name was Alan. I witnessed to him several times. He always rejected the gospel. The day came when his grandmother died. And in the funeral home, it was a strange thing. They had a visitation like from 1 to 3 and then one from like 5 to 7. Two different times of visitation. The first visitation was over, just Alan and I in the funeral chapel there at the funeral home. And, of course, the body of his grandmother in the casket there. And I said to Alan, Alan, don't you think it's time for you to get saved? And I mean just in arrogance. He said, "I'm not going to get saved. I want to die and go to hell and party with my friends." And I guess the Spirit of God. I said, "That's all you've done right now is show how ignorant you are about hell. That's all you've done with that statement. There are no friendships in hell. There are no parties in hell. There's no beer drinking in hell. There's no dope to smoke in hell. There's no crack to snort. There's no heroin to shoot up in hell. There's none of that, folks, going on. You know what the sad part about it is? Every heroin addict, every coke addict, every alcohol addict that dies and goes to hell spends an eternity with the cravings of those addictions coursing through their body. Right. None of that ever changes. Think about that. It's a horrible, horrible. How in the world could there be any time for those kinds of things when Jesus told us what the man in hell said in Luke 16, 24, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." Tormented. How are you going to have a party when you're tormented? It doesn't happen. The shape of the vertical piece of wood on that cross tells us that not only did salvation come from, the plan of salvation come from heaven to earth, but now because it did, man can go from earth to heaven. And that will happen someday for all who are saved. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verses 51 and 52. "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." Pause. What he was saying there is some saved people are going to die and they're going to go to heaven by way of the grave. Some saved people are going to be alive when Jesus comes in the air. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Paul said that would happen in the twinkling of an eye. I've said before, there's a wink. A wink is a conscious action. A man may wink at his wife. You may wink at one of your grandkids or your children. But that's something you think about doing, and you wink. There's a blink. A blink is a subconscious reaction. Something flies by your eyelids blink. You don't think about it. It just happens. That's a blink. A blink is quicker than a wink. We're not talking about a wink or a blink here. We're talking about a twink. And they say that a twink is the time that it takes for the ray, a light ray, to enter through the pupil and refract off the retina. How fast is that? I don't know. But that's faster than a blink, and it's faster than a wink. And the truth of the matter is, folks, it's going to happen. People say, well, you know, I'll just wait until I'm ready. Listen to me very carefully. That's going to happen so fast. You won't have time to act in that day. But if you're a born-again child of God, you're out of here. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 to 17, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Those are Bible verses. Thank God, because salvation came down from heaven to earth. Now man can go from earth to heaven. Amen. Without a stop in purgatory. Amen. How are you going to stop in a place that doesn't exist? Amen. What? I took catechism. They taught me about purgatory. I don't know where they got it. It's not in your Bible. Not in your Bible. I'd be careful before I base my eternal destiny on something concocted by man. I would base my eternal destiny based on something that came from God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 tells us that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Boom. I can't even illustrate the quickness of what I'm talking about. Think about it. I remember a preacher telling years ago when I was just had not been saved very long. He was pastoring in the Tri-City area of Tennessee, Virginia, Kingsport, Bristol, and Johnson City. Beautiful area there in the Appalachian Mountains. And he pastored a country church. I mean, a country church. And people lived way back in the hollers and the hills. And if you've never been in that part of America, in the Appalachians, you'd have to go there. Folks, I mean, way, 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 way back. Way off the nearest road. And he talked about how that he, as a young pastor, he got word that one of the good, faithful, longtime members of the church, elderly man, was dying in his home. And they had sent word to get the pastor to come if it was possible. And the preacher went and made the journey. Had to cross over a creek by foot. Walk up the path. They got stuff like that down in the Ozarks. And he got to the little place, just a little modest place, where the man and his wife, longtime members of the church, and said his name was Dolph. It said he looked like Bozo the Clown. He was bald on top, and he had hair on the side and bushy eyebrows. Kind of Bozo the Clown. Said he was, when he got there, the pastor got there, he was in the bed, unresponsive, unconscious or asleep, one of the two. And he just talked with the wife for a while. Pretty soon, Dolph has opened his eyes. He looked around the room, and he saw the pastor, and he said, Pastor. He said, you came. He said, come here, please. The pastor made his way to the bedside and took his hand. Dolph just looked up from the bed and said, Pastor, you've been a good preacher. Thank you for staying true to the Word of God. Thank you for staying true. I appreciate the messages that you've preached, and you've been such a blessing to our church and my wife and I. And he slipped back off into unconsciousness, sleep. A few minutes passed, and he opened his eyes again and looked around the room and saw his wife, and he said, honey, come here. She came by his bedside. He took her hand and said, now listen, the Lord's going to be coming for me shortly. I'm going to make the crossing. He said, I want you to, after you get me in the ground, I want you to go on back down to the church. I won't be there, but it's a good place. The pastor will take care of you and preach to you. Those folks down there will love on you. You just be faithful. Thank you for being a good wife all these years. And Dolphus slipped off again. They waited for a while. And the pastor said he got thirsty, walked over to the barrel that was in the room with a ladle, took it, dipped in the cool water there and was getting a drink when all of a sudden Dolphus sat up in the bed and his eyes wide open, started saying, glory. Glory, 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 glory. Lay down. His wife looked at the pastor and said, Pastor, what do you think he saw? And the pastor said, I think he saw glory. I think he saw glory. You say, well, that's just anecdotal. Be careful, friend. Paul was nearly dead. In fact, everybody was standing around him thought he was dead. And he saw the third heaven. It's that fast. My personal belief, speculation, my personal opinion. Before a saved person expels their last bit of air from their lungs here, they're breathing celestial air up there. It's that quick. Because salvation came down from heaven to the earth. Thank God, man can go from earth to heaven. The shape of that cross. Number two, let me just talk for a moment about the Savior on the cross and how could I do this justice? As I said at the beginning of the message, Jesus came for the purpose of dying on that cross. Now listen carefully, Jesus was a sinless person. He did not deserve to die. The wages of sin is death. A sinless person does not owe the wages of sin. Only those who have sinned. Jesus came to die because God wanted people like you and me to spend eternity in heaven with Him. So Jesus dies on that cross. Not for himself, for us. The truth is, Jesus died because of a combination of God's justice and God's love. You see, God is a just God, and man's sin against him cannot be forgiven without someone paying the price for that sin. Unlike our system of justice in America, where criminals don't get punished, the price for sin must be paid. God's justice demanded payment for sin. And you know what the wages of sin is? The Bible tells us in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. So somebody had to die. God's justice, but God is also a God of love. And God's love provided a substitute for mankind so that our sin could be forgiven and so we could live with God forever in heaven. God's justice demanded that we pay for our sin and none of us can pay for it. So God provided a sacrifice for man and he sent the sinless Jesus, the Son of God, to die in our place. How much does God love people? So much that he gave his only begotten Son to die and make it possible for man to have eternal life in heaven. Amen. You say, Pastor, you said just a moment ago you're going to talk about the shape of the cross, but you only talked about one beam. You only talked about the vertical beam. Well, the vertical beam is symbolic, and so is the horizontal one. The arms of Jesus Christ were outstretched from one side of that horizontal beam to the other. His arms opened wide to show that all people of the world are invited to come and be saved. Amen. All people. Amen. There's one sacrifice for sin. He is that sacrifice. Amen. That sacrifice is universal. All the people of the world, red, brown, listen very carefully, according to the book of Acts, there is only one race. It's the human race. There are different ethnicities. And no ethnicity is left out. No ethnicity is left out the boundaries of those outstretched arms. Every ethnicity, every person, every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, all people are invited to come to Christ and be saved. I'm talking about the person who has tried to live a moral religious life and yet is guilty of sin. They're invited to come. You know some good people. I know some good people. Hardworking, honest. Wouldn't take anything that didn't belong to them. You know them. They're religious. Even believe in God. But they're lost. The person who's been broken down by sin's consequences is invited to come. It's hard for us to understand and get it all. My wife and I were out in San Francisco earlier this year in the month of March, and Pastor and Mrs. Johnson took us to San Francisco. We were out in the West Coast there at the preaching conference at North Valley, and they took us into San Francisco, and in broad daylight, 12 noon, on the sidewalks of San Francisco, we saw more than one time people laid out on the street and folks coming by with needles and shooting them up. Broad daylight. Lives broken. Broken by sin's consequences. That man on the sidewalk is within the sphere of those outstretched arms. He can come. Nicodemus was a moral man who lived a very religious life, but he needed to be born again. And he came to Christ. And that woman who sat by the well had been married 5 times and was on number 6. She came to Christ and was saved. Yeah. A man who was possessed by devils came to Christ. 2 sisters, Mary and Martha, very good ladies. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. The good and the bad, the religious and the unreligious, the well-known and the unknown, the rich and the poor, all came to Jesus to be saved because those arms were outstretched. For God so loved the world. We sing a song, it's in our songbook, called God Saves Old Sinners. The drunk on the street, the rich in the palaces, the poor and unlearned, and the men of degree. They all have a soul in need of salvation, and they all have to come by Calvary. And guess what? They're all invited. Amen. You're invited. You're invited. If you've never come to Jesus, repentance and faith, trusting Him as your personal Savior, you're invited. No one's left out from the invitation, but you have to come through Jesus. The shape of the cross and the Savior on the cross, but I have one more thought in just a couple of minutes and I'll be done. That's the sadness at the cross. You say, where do you see sadness at the cross? Look at verse 32. Notice what they said here. Let Christ the King of Israel descend now from the cross. Watch what they said. That we may what? And how many miracles had they already seen Jesus work? People, listen, hey, Jesus' works, His miracles were well known. In fact, that is one of the reasons why they hated him so. See, it's hard for them to deny that Jesus is the Son of God when he had power to raise people from the dead. They saw that. They had seen enough and they had heard enough to know that Jesus was the Son of God. At one point, Jesus even told them that they could believe on him because they had heard his word and seen his works. They chose not to believe. And here they were, standing at the scene of his crucifixion, asking for one more miracle. Give us one more miracle. Give us one more miracle. Do something for me just to show me once and for all that you've got to be kidding me. Save thyself and come down from the cross. That's the way you can show me that you're who you are. Well, you know what? In reality, folks, Jesus could have, but he wouldn't because he chose to stay on that cross because he came. He didn't come to save himself. He came to save us. They could have believed, but they wouldn't. They chose not to. Their unbelief was not for the lack of one more miracle. It was because of a hard, unrepentant heart. And if you're not saved, and you say, well, Pastor, I don't even know if I'm saved or not. If you don't know that you're saved, you probably haven't heard anything new this morning. You probably have already heard most of what I've preached to you from this Bible. Are you going to be like them? Do you really need a personal miracle for Jesus to prove to you who he was, who he is? Do you really need that? That's what they said. Oh, if you'll come down from the cross, then we can see, come off that cross, and boy, we'll believe then. You know what I think? I don't think they'd have believed if he had come down. Jesus had said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. These people were standing at the door that leads to heaven and would not go through it. And we don't know. But if they never went through the door, which is Jesus Christ, when they died, they did not go from earth to heaven. They went from earth to that awful place called hell. And they claimed, we have to see it to believe. You know what Jesus said? Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Amen. No one is saved by sight. Everybody gets saved by faith. Amen. I was saved October 15, coming up here on 48 years, 1975. I didn't see Jesus die. I didn't see him buried. I didn't stand and watch him come out of the tomb. So if I have to see it to believe it, I'm in trouble. But I can believe, and so can you. So can you. And I have believed, and I've trusted. Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You know what that means? That means we must believe. We can believe. We should believe. We need to believe in our hearts that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died, that he was buried, and that he rose again. And if we sincerely believe that in our hearts, we need to confess that with our mouth to God. Dear God, I am a sinner. I deserve to pay for my sin, but I am so thankful that you sent Jesus Christ to die on that cross for me. And I'm asking today for the gift of eternal life by trusting in your Son, Jesus Christ. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What a sad, sad choice to stand at the door that leads to heaven, be invited to come in, and turn away only to be separated from God and heaven forever. Now, sometimes you wonder if you have the mind of God or not about the sermon you're preaching. So I'm sitting here this morning, I'm 99.5% confident this is what God wants me to preach. And then Brother Luke leads the choir singing about the cross. The cross. The cross. The shape of the cross. The Savior on the cross. Please don't be one of those that's involved in the sadness by turning away. In just a moment, we're going to bow our heads. Not now. In just a moment, we're going to bow our heads. I'm going to ask two questions. I'm telling you up front, I'm going to ask you two questions. I don't want you to turn me off. And I just want you to be honest. This is not so that we can sit with pencils and paper and take numbers. This is just to go along with the message. I'm going to ask two questions. I'm going to ask for people in the room who know 100% for sure that they're on the way to, they're on their way to heaven from earth, just to, in just a moment, to do that by a raise of uplifted hand, just as a testimony. All I'm asking you to do is be honest. If you're going to be honest anywhere, it should be in church.
Amen.
Okay. And then I'm going to ask if you're here today and you don't know for sure. And I'm not scolding you. You don't know. I'll ask you to raise your hand so I can pray for you. Not by name. Just for God to help you not turn away from the cross. So let's bow our heads. We'll close our eyes now. Thank you for listening. I'll ask the first question, the one I told you I was going to ask. How many here today could say by uplifted hand, I know, 100% sure, no doubt about it, that I am saved and on my way to heaven. I know that for sure. If that's you this morning, being honest before God, if that's you, would you lift your hand where you're sitting? If you can say that you know that for sure this morning, you listened, you heard the message, you know that. Thank you. Take your hands down. Is there anybody here today who would say, Brother Angel, I'm not sure. I didn't raise my hand a moment ago. I'll raise it right now. I'm not sure that I'm on my way to heaven when I die, from earth to heaven. I don't know that. I'll just be honest. Would you slip your hand in the air? The others have obeyed. God bless you. That's good. Somebody else. I see your hand. God bless you over here. I see your hand over here. Somebody else. Just keep it up just for a moment. Keep it up just for a moment. I see your hand. God bless you. Think about it for a minute. Think about the question. If I've seen your hand, you can slip it back down right now. Anybody else? I'll give another second or two. You can slip your hand down, sir. Thank you. I'm not sure that I'm saved. I'm not sure that I'm going from earth to heaven. That concerns me. I'm going to wait for about another 15 seconds or so. Anybody? All right. Everybody's heads bowed. Everybody, eyes closed. Nobody, this is a personal time. If you raised your hand just now, you're not sure that you're going to heaven. Would you look at me? In the back here, just raise your head and look at me. And ma'am, in the back, you raised your hand. That's right over here. Over here, young lady, you raised your hand that you're not sure you're going to heaven. All right. We have ladies to show ladies from the Bible. We have men to show men. Nobody's looking right now. If you're serious about wanting to know that you're going to go from earth to heaven, you're serious about that. These fellas, that's what they're here for. They'll let you out of the pew. Just say to the person next to you, come right down here, and let us take a Bible and show you how to be saved. We do this all the time. That's right. Step up out of your seat and come. We'll have somebody show you how to be saved. God spoke to your heart. That's right. Come on, sir. Come from the back. That's right. If you meant it, ma'am, if you meant that, I'm not asking you to join the church. I'm not asking you to be a Baptist. I'm just saying let's take a Bible and show you how to be saved. Would you do that? Others are coming. Would you do that while the Lord is speaking to your heart? Okay. Remember that this coming of Christ is instantaneous. We could have a lady talk with you if you'd like to come. We can have a lady talk with you how to be saved. Would you like to come this morning? Maybe somebody sitting around you could encourage you to come if you would. Okay. Now, just a moment. We're going to stand. And we're going to have people come to pray. And if you feel uncomfortable coming now, you can come then. But I'm going to pray for you right now, said I would. Father in heaven, I bow my head before you and I ask you please to speak to the hearts of every person in this room who's not saved. Lord, would you please help them to see the importance of coming through the door, the Lord Jesus Christ, and being saved. It's not a church. It's not baptism. It's not some citizenship. It is Christ and Christ alone. So I pray for these people this morning who might yet still be in the pew to come and learn this, hear these verses on how they can be saved and trust you this morning. That's my prayer. For those of us, Lord, who know that we're saved, we're thankful. Thankful that salvation came down from heaven to earth, that we can go from earth to heaven. What a blessing. Would you work in our invitation, I pray, in Jesus' name. Let's stand together. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. The pianist is playing a song of invitation. You feel more comfortable coming now? Would you step out and come? Would you step out and come and let us talk to you about Christ? Would you do that while we wait? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you'd like to come to the altar, just pray this morning, asking God to speak to hearts. You can certainly do that while our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Would you come? Aren't you thankful to be saved? Aren't you glad that you know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, you're going from earth to heaven? What a blessing. What a blessing to know that. If you're not sure that you're saved, we are ready to help you this morning. We are ready to help you. While our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, some are coming. Some are being talked to from God's word. We have some to follow the Lord in baptism as well.